everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's a selfless thing to play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, yes.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
None of them guys are playing against. And make his ass win. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to the Alabama Football Podcast, powered by Bama Hammer. Tom, we're back and we're talking wide receivers and tight ends. Where do you want to go first?
Man, I want to start with Jostin Fowler because I was so excited about this kid. I was talking to him, you know, talking about him during the halfback show earlier. You know, Jostin Fowler is a guy that we have loved for a long time, well before your love for Kenyon Drake. Take nothing away from Drake, right? But Jostin Fowler has been our boy for a while. And I was so excited before his injury as to where we were going to use him and how multidimensional, you know, what he was going to bring to this offense as far as catching the ball out of the backfield, lining up in the traditional I formation, lining up as an H-back, what have you, right? Well, now, you know, unfortunately, Lane Kiffin's here, okay? Okay, that's the first time I've said that in all the shows we've done. But I'm not in love with Lane Kiffin as a person, but I am in love with his offensive mind. And I love how he runs the I formation and does a lot of sets off of it and loves the two tight end look. And so Jostin Fowler has to be very happy that Lane Kiffin is the offensive coordinator for the University of Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love we started a wide receiver and tight end show talking about a fullback. But I'm serious. That and so that's funny.
I'm sorry. Right? You asked me what was most important to me. It's Jostin Fowler, man. No offense to all the other guys.
No, I love it because Jostin Fowler is a hybrid type player, right? He's played some running back. He has played some halfback, which we kind of call, kind of a part-time tight end. He's definitely been a pass catcher under Lane. I think he's going to play, you know, maybe some more pure fullback. But Fowler's a kid that I really, really do like. And when we talk about just receivers in more generic sense in terms of pass catchers, you have to put Fowler on the list. He caught 7 passes last year. 5 for touchdowns. That's going to be a difficult touchdown sort of ratio and production to match, but I think he's going to catch a lot of balls between the 20s, and I think he's going to open up some of that mid-range passing game. And so, you know, if we're going to talk about guys that are going to pass, you know, catch the ball, then you can't have that show, and that's what this one is, right? You can't have that show without talking about Jostin Fowler. And he is one of those big guys that I've enjoyed him since he has been on the team. And how do you not Jostin Fowler? You know, just that's just a name that just begs for Chris Berman to just say. It's such a mouthful. It's like eating a sandwich when you say that name. It's just awesome. And that's just a football player's name. And the way that he plays, I think, is just phenomenal. And, yeah, he's one of my favorite players right up there with Kenyon Drake. And I look forward to him having a big season this year.
Well, and the reason I wanted to start this show off about him is we've talked about all the weapons, right? We talked about in the A-Day shows that we did about, you know, Coker coming in and all the weapons that he can have and wide receiver and running back, et cetera. I'm sorry. A big old fullback who can run the ball and catch the rock out of the backfield can also be a quarterback's best friend. And I just think that the stars are aligning for Jostin Fowler because he is the second year off that knee injury.
Yes.
We saw what he was doing in 2012. We know how kids respond after, you know, coming off that, you know, that second season. And Lane Kiffin's here. And I'm sorry, Lane Kiffin did some great things with the Tennessee fullback when he played against us in 2009. And he wasn't anything like Jostin Fowler is. Sorry. Lane Kiffin is going to – you and I are going to see some sets with Jostin Fowler up in the stands in this season that we're going to be like, wow, that's a cool way to use Jostin Fowler.
Yep. 100% agree. 100% agree. Where do you want to go from Fowler? You know, sort of the rest of the tight end core, or where do you want to take us?
Man, we got to go next to O.J. Howard. We'll stay on point with tight end. You know, sure. We'll give the love to the wide receivers in a minute. But O.J. Howard, all the pictures I've seen of the kid, he looks like he's really, you know, put some good muscle weight on. He's looked like he's continued to tone that body. You know, I still can't – we talked about Derrick Henry in the Sugar Bowl. Well, gosh, I still can't forget that touchdown out of my head against LSU, right?
Yeah.
I see that, and that also leaves me wanting more.
Yep.
And we're going to see more of that this year from this kid. And it's because of Jacob Coker, because I believe he's going to be able to use him as a security blanket. But I think this year we're going to finally see what I thought I would see last year. And it was too early because he was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we're going to see the mismatches between the – you know, the between the middle, between the hash marks, between the middle of the field. I think we're truly going to see an ability to drop the ball over the linebackers, catch it in space on the run. And I think we're going to see that yard per catch get up in that high double digit category. I think we're going to see like a 15 plus yards per catch ratio from this kid.
Yeah, I think absolutely. You know, it's one thing. It's almost boring to say that he's a matchup nightmare. He's, you know, too big for the DBs and, you know, too fast for the linebackers. And so that becomes trite, you know, and in some sense it's a cliche for a reason. Not everyone that is branded that way really is that way. This kid, I think, really is that way. I think he really is that. I think we're going to look for opportunities to leak him out, to run him out. What he did against LSU was just phenomenal. When we got really, really wonky in breaking down the Oklahoma game and looking at film, you know, there was at least one play where he was leaking out. He was the primary pass receiver, but, you know, Cyrus Conjure just got blown up, and, you know, we had a quarterback sack. And, you know, who knows, plays like that could pivot a game like that. But I just think he's a game-breaking type of guy, and we're going to see phenomenal production from him. You know, Kiffin is sort of known for engaging the tight ends and finding mismatches, and I think Howard is the kind of tight end that you just salivate over. You look at some of the tight ends that are in the NFL where, you know, is he a tight end or a receiver, and there's even been, you know, some arbitration over some of that with Jimmy Graham. I think O.J. Howard kind of fits in that category. He's a guy that, you know, because he's, you know, 6 foot something and, you know, 200 and something pounds, and you're going to line him up closer to the line of scrimmage, that you call him a tight end. But I think he's a kid that, you know, wanted to be recruited as a wide receiver, and I think he has wide receiver skills. And I think we're going to see him get the ball early and often and be productive with it.
Well, hey, what do you think about this Ty Flournoy-Smith kid? I know in the viewing guide that, you know, the football podcast, you know, viewing guide this year that, you know, that was put out, that, you know, it's kind of funny. You just talk about Jostin Fowler with his high touchdown ratio, right? Well, Ty's trying to live up to the billing because, you know, in the guide you referenced that, you know, he caught six passes, but five went for scores. So he's kind of beating Jostin Fowler on that front right now.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I've not broken down Georgia military film. You know, I can't tell you this per se, but what that really starts to sound like is they used him as an inline blocker between the 20s, and then they used him as a touchdown weapon as they got close to the end zone. And so you start to look at it kind of in those terms, sounds a little Michael Williams-ish, and
yes.
Sounds like the kind of weapon that we really would like to have. You know, OJ was more of a straight, you know, receiver. You know, Vogler, we'll talk about him, more of a straight blocker. If we can get that sort of hybrid, the guy that legitimately, you know, can have a day job doing both jobs, that's really what we're looking for. And so I extrapolate from his production that he has the ability to provide both. And I'll tell you this, I was kind of surprised that we signed him. And I think it's kind of telling that we're maybe not getting the production from the rest of the tight end depth that we want, and that's why we signed him. I also think it's a luxury of riches. We have recruited so well and have stockpiled so much depth in so many different places that we could say, yeah, we can go get that shiny thing over there because we have room for it in our budget. That's what he kind of looks like to me when we signed him. And I think that he's going to be an interesting contributor for us.
Well, I think that, you know, to your point about Georgia military, if they used him more, you know, if he was forced to be the blocking tight end, right, because of the depth that that program has, then he might really be liberated when he comes to this football team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He might really freaking shine as a receiving tight end, and that just be his stick because he knows he's not going to be called on. We got enough guys that can do the blocking part.
Right. Well, what do you think about, you know, we could even go a couple more directions, but what do you think about Dakota Ball moving over from defensive line to tight end?
You know, I agree with you wholeheartedly on this. I think a couple different things. I think, first of all, I think the Brandon Green experiment that we talked about earlier, you know, it worked well because we have so many talented bodies. And because, well, two things. We've brought in so many talented bodies that we can take a Brandon Green and say, hey, we need you to play blocking tight end right now, and you can make it happen because you're athletic enough that you can do that. But now, with his departure, for whatever those reasons were, I still don't think we have found that shiny toy like we had in Michael Williams, and it might be years before we find it again. Of a guy that can really block the way Michael Williams did. Michael Williams was a sixth offensive lineman. And not to make this a Michael Williams show, because we love this kid because he could be plugged in several different spots. And we got the pass catch inside, but I don't think we're still comfortable with that run block inside. And so I think Saban's just trying to put some more guys over there to see who sticks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we need someone that can line up and block. You know, Michael Williams has actually signed a contract with the Detroit Lions to be a tackle. So he's even moved to the interior or moved to the line, you know, in the NFL. So that's how good of a blocker he is. You know, we're not just blowing up some guy's skirt here. And then you've seen him produce, you know, scoring touchdowns on the field, you know, throughout his career. So, you know, in the national title game against Notre Dame, and he scored just an incredible touchdown, you know, against Penn State. And so that spans multiple seasons that he performed well in both capacities. I think we're looking, you know, you kind of always look for the next of something that was really good. And so we're kind of looking for the next one here. You know, Dakota Ball has an opportunity. Ty Florney is the most intriguing because he may actually have the blend of both. But then, you know, O.J. Howard has what he has, which is phenomenal. You're never going to say no to a guy like that. And then Brian Vogler, you know, everything that I'm reading, everything that I'm hearing, everything that I'm watching is that he is really, you know, he's a senior this year. He has really stepped up his offseason work. He's really stepped up his leadership. And I think that he is really wanting to make a name for himself this year. And so as well as he played last year, you know, and he never, you know, he's known more for his blocking, but he never was a great blocker, which is, you know, kind of interesting. I really think we're going to see some stepped up performance from Vogler this year. I think he's excited about, you know, Kiffin and the opportunity that's going to bring to the position. I think he's motivated by the competition that clearly has been brought to bear. And I think we're going to see good things from him this season.
Well, I also think he's motivated by the loss of Brandon Green.
Yeah.
He sees what happened in that position last year, and I think he wants his part of it.
Yeah. Any of these other tight ends, I don't want to give anybody, you know, short shrift necessarily, but any of these other guys you see contributing more than, you know, just a deep rotation or depth?
No, I just see I see Kurt and Malcolm, you know, being huge on special teams. I see him being huge on the kickoff coverage. Potentially, you know, I could see Malcolm or Kurt being on the punt return unit.
Yep.
They're both, you know, they both have some decent skills as far as their size and frame and what they can bring to special teams. And I see them developing or continuing to develop in that role for right now.
Yeah, fair. And I think, you know, Corey McCarron, you know, also kind of listed as a tight end. I think he's getting some run as a fullback as well. That's, I think, probably more suits his body type. He's not quite as tall as some of the other guys, but he's got some thickness to him. So I think he's getting some run there at fullback as well. So that'll be interesting. You know, we haven't really had a true fullback, and so it'll be interesting to see how Jostin fills that role. You know, Corey, there may be a niche there for Corey because he just seems kind of like one of those hard nose kind of guys, and we'll see how that plays out. I'm not necessarily going to call for big things, but if he can step in and sort of contribute and throw some blocks, you know, I think that's what we would look for there. Anything outside of the tight ends, or you want to jump to wide receivers?
No, man, let's go ahead and jump to wide receivers. Who he want to talk about first there?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know who would do. I kind of kidded you about going to a halfback when we were talking about tight end and wide receivers. But frankly, who would start with tight ends when you have this sort of buffet of wide receivers in front of you? This is phenomenal. You can't go wrong in who you pick first. I mean, you could just draft college teams from our wide receiver rotation, and you'd be doing yourself pretty well. I don't think you can start anywhere other than Amari, just because he's kind of at the top here. But you go DeAndre and Christian Jones, and I mean, you go deep down. I don't want to list them all, but I mean, good golly, the talent that's on this roster at wide receiver.
Well, definitely, and let's start with Amari. I mean, how excited is he, right, that Coker's in town? I mean, you were talking on the, you know, we were talking on the quarterback show about the deep ball, right? Well, Amari's a guy that, you know, we saw several opportunities for him to go and get a ball, right? And the ball was just off a little bit, right, as far as getting to him. And so there's what, two or three more touchdowns he could have got last year potentially?
Easily.
So I think he, you know, I think he might be the happiest guy, the receiver core that Coker was able to come in and compete at that position with the other quarterbacks. But, you know, I guess I'd have to start with Christian Jones and DeAndre White.
Yep.
Take nothing away from all these other guys, okay? But DeAndre White and Christian Jones, to me, okay, epitomize what a program Saban is building. And what I mean is, especially Christian Jones, you know, for probably number one of the two, close, you know, 1A and 1B.
Sure.
Is, you know, these are five-year guys who look what they've done for this program. And these are guys that, kind of like you said with TJ Yeldon, these are guys that are not flashy guys. And they're not out there in front of the camera, and they're not saying, hey, me. But in their own right, they've made really big plays when their number has been called. And I think we're going to see great things from both of them.
Yeah. You know, you take all three of these guys, and they have all had just light up the scoreboard, big sensational plays.
Wow.
All three of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start thinking about, well, if I'm a defensive coordinator, how do I, you know, I can take away, you know, maybe one of them, but if you're going to line them all three on the field, how do I cover that? And so even if I bring in, you know, a nickel, you know, a corner nickel, and I put a corner on all three of them, that I still got these three studs on in single man coverage. You know,
well, and correct me if I'm wrong real quick, David, but have they all consistently been on the been able to consistently be on the field at full strength? They haven't, right?
You know, I thought you were gonna pause your question. Just have they all been on the field together? And then I was gonna come back and say, yeah, but not full strength. And so you asked, you know, the second part of the question, which is the kicker. I don't know that all three of those guys have been on the field at full strength. And so
I don't either.
I think we get them, you know, on the field full strength. If you do that, you're running three wide receivers, and so you probably got some tight ends. And so, you know, give me a formation where, you know, you're running, you know, 12 personnel, right? So one running back, two tight ends, and you tell me what play in our playbook we can't run. You know, we can't. You know, we can be vertical, we can be power. And so, do you need to go to a nickel or dime to make sure you have coverage on these three playmakers, or do you need to you know, put an extra man on the box against what could be a power run attack.
Right.
And that's just a base 12 personnel. That's not even getting into four wides or five, you know, that's not even trying to go fancy on you. That's just, we're going to run out just a simple old 12 personnel. How are you going to defend it when we got this kind of talent on the field?
Well, I just think if they can all stay healthy, right,
mm-hmm.
for a period of time to build some chemistry with Coker, I just think it could be really fun to watch. Take nothing away from these other young kids, but these three guys, right, they've got to be the leaders. They've got to be the ones yeah. that carry oh, yeah. this receiving core.
Yeah, yep. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that, you know, that we're hearing, you know, about Kiffin's offense is that he is, and it's a simple little thing, but it's the thing that you and I have been asking for just seems like forever, is, you know, why do we not see more double moves from our wide receivers? And that is something that I think Kiffin is going to bring to our offense. It'll be subtle, and if you don't know really to look for that, then you won't know that it's happening. You'll just think these guys are playing better this year. But you put some second moves out there with some of these guys. And I'll tell you another thing that Kiffin has been saying about Amari is that his work effort and his work ethic, he's, you know, we have this fourth quarter program and Kiff has been saying that, you know, Coop comes out a couple hours before the fourth quarter program and puts in work before, you know, the teamwork. And then they'll just have, you know, just kind of bull sessions where they're just talking football. And, you know, one thing I think Kiff said that was funny, he was talking about he, Cooper, and Christian Jones were just sitting around talking about off-the-field stuff. And Kiff said, you know, one of the things you learned very early on is that with Amari Cooper, there are no off-the-field things. It's all about football. And, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, Marquise Lee was a first-round draft pick from USC to the NFL. And 2 years ago, last year, he didn't perform as well. In college, Tommy, this is college, had over 100 catches. And that, you know, Amari has been very active in sitting down chalkboard sessions with Kiffin talking about how do you get open? How do you get Marquise Lee open enough times to catch that many balls? How is that, you know, what does that look like in our offense? And you take a guy like that who's so, you know, singular of focused, dedicating his effort and wanting to sort of study the nuance of how do you get open to catch that many balls, you know, multiple moves on a route, you know, a delayed route or a secondary move is certainly, those are certainly ways to do it. But when you have a supreme talent, right, Amari could just ride his heels to be a first round pick, but he is putting in the effort this season to improve himself that much better. That's obviously going to have trickle down across the rest of the roster, but holy my goodness, if we get him fully healthy and dedicated for a full season, which by the way, we've not gotten, man, sky's the limit.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a guy that, if he has that kind of season, you will probably not see him right after this season. And
well,
so
you kind of have to count on him go anyways, but you know, I'll tell you this, if he has that kind of season, you may not see Jacob Coker come back.
Well, okay, so that's a whole different spin on our earlier show. And so, but if that was to come to fruition, right, and now you have no Cooper and you have no White and no Jones, let's spend a minute talking about these other kids, because now suddenly, right, you got a much younger receiving core. And I want to talk about Chris Black first. You know, sure. I know there's a lot of other guys that we can talk about, yep. but, you know, he's the guy that impressed me, you know, 2 years ago at the A-Day game with yep. T.J. Yeldon.
Yep.
And impressed you as well. It was like, what's the two numbers we remembered after that game was number 4 and number 5.
Yep.
And those were the only two guys we remembered. And so Chris Black's a guy that I'm really rooting for. He's a guy like Jostin Fowler is coming back after year two of an injury. And, you know, I think he's going to be one of those guys that is going to be in that rotation, okay, of those five guys. I think he's going to be one of those top five guys, and he's going to make those plays in game two or three and break 130 yards for a touchdown, and we're going to listen to some of the fans in the stands turn around and say, who is that?
Yeah. Yep.
Who is this guy? Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a guy who is just tough and grit, just hung in there. And now it's his moment he is going to get a moment to shine on a quick slant route and take it to the house and I'm just going to be just clapping as hard as I can for the kid.
Well, I think he needs to, and I don't know him, and so I'm not saying anything sort of interpersonally about him. I'm just saying, you know, the name on the jersey, Chris Black, kind of needs to find his north. He needs to find his true north, and he needs to really step out and assert himself this season.
Yes.
Because he does, you know, even though we've got, you know, a junior and two seniors that are going to be gone, we've got enough talent on the roster and around him that he could get shuffled back. You know, Robert Foster, Raheem Falkins, you know, Adarius Studer is just, I think, lighting things up. Cam Sims, even as a true freshman, is just absolutely lighting things up. And so Chris Black needs to really assert himself to get into the rotation and then make some plays with the ball in his hand, because it would be easy for him to just kind of get lost in the wash. And that's unfortunate, because it would be probably less a function of his talent than it just is, you know, wrong place, wrong time with so many other guys. You know, he was the one that was lighting everything up. He was the one that was supposed to have been the Amari Cooper a couple years ago. And, right, you know, he went down to injury. And so that's no fault of his own. But, you know, the door opened for another player. You know, he is a shorter type of, you know, slot type receiver. Well, guess what? What a long log jam at that position, other than, you know, DeAndre White and Christian Jones. So there's an opportunity that he's going to have an opportunity. It's just going to be a more narrow opportunity, and he's just going to have to really kick the door open and take full advantage of it.
Well, I will tell you, as my first prediction of these shows, he is your next leader of the receiving corps.
Okay.
What I mean by that is he's your, I look for him to grab the opportunity to be next year's leader of these young guys.
Okay.
Because he is the veteran of that second unit, if that makes sense. And I really think he is, you know, dude, he wanted to play so bad in that Sugar Bowl. I think this is a guy that is going to really seize the moment this season.
I think you have certainly every potential to be right. I just want to underscore the fact that, boy, I think that he needs to.
Yes.
You know, because there are so many other prime talented guys that will. And I'll tell you what, you know, that was your bold kind of prediction at wide receiver. Here's kind of mine. If you were to draw a connect, if you were kind of draw the lineage and sort of pass the torch from, and I'm talking uber talent here. I'm not just talking the best receiver from team to team. This kind of spans teams. But if you took and drew a line and passed the torch from Julio Jones to Amari Cooper, I think that torch next goes to Robert Foster. I think the next, and so we had a span in between Julio and Cooper. I think we have Cooper and Foster on the team, on the field together this season. I think, okay, Robert Foster is the next superstar.
Okay. So what makes you so high on Robert Foster?
I just think, I just, you know, the way he looked during A-Day and the reports coming out of fall camp, I just think he's it. I think I'm seeing some it factor from him. I think that, you know, his over-the-shoulder catch in A-Day, some of his other...
That was pretty nice now, I got to say.
And some of what we're hearing out of fall camp, I just think he's the guy. I think he's the next one up. Certainly he was a five-star recruit. That doesn't always translate to that level of stardom, but, you know, certainly he was a five-star recruit, a very significant get in recruiting. I think he's it. You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. I can be wrong, but I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we talked about having three wide receivers out there, Cooper, White, and Jones. Man, you put Foster out, and they may say, well, you know, that redshirt freshman, you know, we can put a free safety on him. We'll be all right. And I think, you know, quickly teams will learn that, you know, that guy is something too. And I think that he's going to get out there and make some big plays for us.
Well, do you think, I have to say, looking at the glimpses I've seen of Cam Sims, you know, I think it's a crowded wide receiver core, you know, currently numbers wise, but boy, he looks pretty impressive. The shots I've seen of him, just he looks pretty mature physically already at this point.
Well, he really does, and he's one of those guys. You know, again, Cooper White, Jones, Foster. We haven't talked about Raheem Falkins, a redshirt freshman, Chris Black, Ardarius Stewart. You know, all, you know, seven of those guys. You know, none of, you know, you can't redshirt them, right? And so you talk about Cam Sims and Derek Keefe are the true freshmen, and you think that you almost have to redshirt those guys.
Yes.
Just from a management standpoint. But then you take someone like a Cam Sims, and you sometimes kind of scratch your head and you say, how can you actually redshirt someone that's as talented as he is? And so that's where I say, even amongst the known competition that Chris Black has, man, he's got to watch out for someone else, even one of these freshmen coming in.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not mad at Chris Black. I'm just saying, man, there are piranha in the water at that wide receiver position. And you got to get yours when the getting's good.
Well, I think it's, you know, we saw last year that Alabama consistently ran a rotation of 4 to 5 wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I see it stretching maybe to 6 with Lane Kiffin's offense, but I don't see him running 7, right?
That starts to be big numbers, right? And so that's where I say, when we talk about Coker and, you know, he's got a, you know, throws a good deep ball, are we just going to go out there and, you know, not every play, obviously. You know what would be super fun to watch is just for us to take a couple of series a game and just say, we're gonna play run and gun.
Yep.
Because we've got the talent to do it. And so we're just going to go out there and say, oh, this is the quarter that we do run and gun. And we're going to rotate.
Run and gun. I love that.
I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to be just more on football guy.
No, that would be awesome, man. That'd be great.
I look at up and down our roster, and I look at these receivers, and I think, man, I know we want to be a running attack, but we've got so much talent that if we wanted to just snub our nose and say, you know how multiple we're going to be? We're just going to be, for a team that's still considered a running attack, sort of a boring, plodding sort of attack, we're just going to show you that that's not really true. I think, you know, you take all the running gun teams that are out there, you know, and so maybe we don't have a running quarterback necessarily, but of all the run and gun and fast paced offense teams up there, I will take our receiving core over all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
And so if we wanted to, and I'm being a little ridiculous, I understand that, but if we wanted to just go out there and we could go out there and run 4 and 5 wides and sling it around the yard a little bit, probably with amongst the best teams in the country.
Dude, it'd be great to break up the pace like that. That'd be awesome.
Would it though?
It would be.
And hey, you know, we have run 5 wide before.
Sure.
You know, we did that a couple of years ago. I remember sitting in the Atlanta Dome with the Georgia Dome when we played Clemson, and you know, you were a few rows back, and there was this guy that was sitting between us. I thought I was hitting on him or something because I turned around to you a couple times and I just held my hand up like 5. And I think like, I thought I was waving at him or something. I was like, 5 wides, 5 wides. And so we've done this before. And frankly, we have even more talent to do it now.
Sure. No, absolutely. I agree with that.
So I've run out of emotion after stepping through that. Who am I missing around the wide receiver core? What sort of a name or?
Well, I'm surprised you hadn't talked about Ardarius Stewart, man. I mean, the boy's got a little flash in him for somebody that doesn't know what position he wants to play. I can't put my finger on my thought about him at wide receiver, but he's also a guy that just has so much talent that, you know, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. I mean, you know, he didn't do too bad at A-Day for a limited time at that position himself.
No, he didn't. And so, and you know, and we have some of this in the viewing guide that, you know, kind of my thought on Ardarius Stewart is that, you know, he came kind of without a position and we started him, I think at safety and moved him back to wide receiver. And so there's a little bit where the coaches say, you know, we'll let the player kind of pick where he wants to play. And then, you know, maybe we'll kind of steer him. And where we have a need equal, faster kind of route to playing time. We actually have a need at safety, and we'll get to that show and we'll talk about safety. But I think one of the thinnest positions we have on the team is strong safety. And you take a guy like Ardarius Stewart, who's just athletically just gifted. And we move him from safety back to wide receiver, where we have a ton of talent at wide receiver. And so a little bit, it speaks to this guy must really have the potential to be special at wide receiver, or we would kind of press the issue with keeping him at safety.
Yes.
And so the fact that he's back at wide receiver and the way he looked during A-Day suggests that he just really has a real gift for operating with the ball in the open field. And the player that he reminds me of is Cordero Patterson at Tennessee. Cordero Patterson never looked like a polished receiver, but you give him the ball in a broken field, and he is going to weave and dodge and slash and cut his way down the field, and it's going to be the most electrifying entertainment 12 seconds of ball that you're going to see during the entire game. And I just think Ardarius Stewart has a little bit of that spice in him that, we're going to run him on some screens, maybe some slants. You know, we're going to talk about special teams. I think this guy in punt returns could just be sensational. I think this is a guy that we're going to try to get him the ball in space and just say, go to work. And I think we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy seeing us do that.
So it's almost like try to find where he is, because he's going to be lined up in different spots throughout the season.
Right. Right. Let's move him around, and he's going to have five plays in his playbook, and they're all going to originate from a different set. And so by the time your defense feels like maybe we figured out how to cover Cooper, White, and Jones and Foster, who right. the hell is this Stewart guy that's springing out of a fullback wing T position and running a freak slant, for a touchdown, or just something just bizarro. That I just think we're going to see something with him lined up in sort of a freak position and just get the ball and just, where we force a matchup with him, right? And so we're going to run some nines and get the corners out of the way, and we're going to put him somewhere lined up where it forces a mismatch. Man, watch out. That'd be fun. If you ever see number 13, just write this down. If you're listening to this, and then I'm just, then we can be done with the show. But just write down. If you see number 13 and you're like, who the hell is 13 lined up at tailback? Just sit down and get your popcorn ready, because that's a play that's going to go for a big gain. That's going to be a fun play to watch.
That's awesome.
What do you got? I got nothing, man. That was awesome. All right.
I hope that I got my popcorn ready, and I hope he does some crazy lined up formation so we can turn to each other and hold our hands up and somebody thinks we're waving at them, man. That's all I gotta say. We called that one.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Watch out for Raheem. And look, I'm not going to have as much passion because I'm just going to run out of gas. But watch out for Raheem Falkins. This dude's like 6'5", just a huge, tall receiver. I think we're going to find a way to get a back of the end zone kind of matchup. When we get kind of in a goal line situation, look for number 80 on the field. We're going to have a lot of options what we can do. Don't get me wrong, but, if you can get a supremely tall receiver, across the first down line or, in the back of the end zone, I think we're going to capitalize on that. We're not going to, and I love this wide receiver. This is probably the most talented wide receiver core that I've ever seen since I've been following this. And I said that last year, and I think this year is even more talented. But I don't want to discount the fact that we lost Kevin Norwood, who's going to go down in my book as an all-timer, right? His sideline catches, his ability to catch the ball along the sideline, move the chains. It would be interesting to study what percentage of his catches throughout his career went for first downs or touchdowns. It would be
very high, very high.
I mean, it would be astonishing
over 80%
that percentage was.
Yes.
And so when you look at sort of those have to pass the ball, have to be clutch critical situations, it'll be interesting to see who kind of picks up that slack. And it may be someone like a Raheem Falkins or someone, you know, it's like, ah, that's interesting that they're catching those balls. And, you know, I'm not predicting that it's Falkins, but I'm just saying this guy's going to have a role too. And for all the excitement and all the chatter about the other guys, I think watch out for him. And Derek Keefe, I just think that, you know, the future, he's a player for the future. I think he can be good. I think he's going to be talented.
His future's just not now. Yeah.
You go, there's too much talent between him and the field. There just is.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Wait, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Look, you got to check out this 2014 Alabama viewing guide because it's chock full of 100 pages of the same kind of passion that we're throwing at you here on this podcast. So check it out. It's a cup of coffee over at BamaHammer.com. We'd greatly appreciate it. It's a fantastic way for you to support. If you like this podcast, I'll put it to you this way. If you like this podcast, this comes with a cost. And so this is a hobby. We do this and we eat the cost just because we enjoy doing it so much. If you just want to tip your hat and say, you guys do good work and we want to, you know, how can we support you guys? Go buy a copy. It's only $4.99. Like I said, it's a cup of coffee. Go to BamaHammer.com, pick it up there. And that's just a tip of the hat of a way of you to say thanks for putting out the podcast and answer all our questions and all the things that we like to do and hope that you certainly enjoy. So we'll put that out there, maybe challenge you guys. If you're looking for something else, go to iTunes and give us a review there. We certainly appreciate those as well. Again, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast powered by Bama Hammer. Thanks for listening. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.